What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 560th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. I think it's, 60th episode of Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, Steve. With me is Greg.
Hello. Happy eggs. I had eggs yesterday and I had eggs today. They may or may not have been colored. No comment on that, but I have eaten eggs for 2 days straight.
With the Reese's eggs?
I've also had Reese's eggs, had candy eggs, I've had real eggs. I've had... So the worst thing I discovered is Kit Kat put out an Easter lemon flavor, because lemon is my favorite flavor, and I ate an entire bag in like one sitting, and then I can never... exist in my world.
With lemon in it?
The shell, the candy shell around the Kit Kat
was flavored lemon. Kit Kats are so good.
Okay, got it. Hannah's also here.
I am here. The only eggs in my world have been the Regieleki eggs in raids today. That's it.
Well, I guess we can start off talking about that.
Why Easter when the day before Easter existed and it was still a weekend?
We have some news about that. We have some news about Monster Energy, which isn't really newsworthy. I just think it's more funny than anything. And then we have some... changes, I guess, with like creatures. It's a weird news week. It's a holiday for some people. Speaking of holidays, we're recording this on Easter for whatever reason, and who knows, Niantic decided to put Regieleki elite raids on Easter Day, which is April 9th. I think Easter is always the first Sunday of April. Is that how it works?
Oh, it's the something. It's
a Sunday.
Maybe it's the second
Sunday.
4 weeks
after a certain thing. And because it can be in March, it's sometimes in April. I don't know the rules for the ever-changing holiday that is Easter. Look, I could look it up, but no.
The bunny is not like Santa Claus. Very complicated schedule here. Look, this season is not great. It's still pretty boring. There's like a Lapras event coming out, which is just Lapras for whatever.
And just one. You just only get one. You get one single Lapras.
The wild Lapras that is coming to unite. If you have not got on Twitter to watch the videos, which I have tried to explain to people, a Pokemon jumping on Lapras's back and zooming around the map, you need to go find it and watch it because it is goofy.
That sounds tight.
It'll make you laugh and it looks real fun.
We all went out for Regieleki except for Greg. Greg was doing egg stuff.
I had egg stuff and then I came home and I said, I'm going to nap. And I did. And I enjoyed my life choices, and I said, look at all these people getting Regieleki in direct defiance of an official holiday.
Yes.
It's also weird.
Many holidays.
Generally, I can see that's only a holiday in X place.
In, like,
this is
America.
Like worldwide. Easter's a big thing to a lot of people.
Yeah. Does Japan celebrate Easter? I don't.
There are always a lot of products, like Pokemon Easter-themed products. I'm not sure celebrating is necessarily the right word, but there are there's a lot of merch.
Japan definitely has a lot of fake churches because they like the American wedding, but without the religious aspect of it. I've been told that by our Japanese correspondent, Andrew, who pointed out, these churches are all just to get married, not actually for religious purposes.
I mean... if you're a Christian in Japan, yes, you celebrate Easter.
Maybe you're getting a little KFC with that. Who knows? You know, KFC around Christmas time, too. Hannah, what was your experience getting Regieleki on this holiday of sorts?
My local groups, I don't think, even really tried to do the 11 a.m., which means I'm really grateful they rebalance things, since last time with Regidrago, it was very weighted towards almost every raid around here was 11 a.m. This time, it's a whole lot more balanced. There are a whole lot more 2 p.m. and a whole lot more 5 p.m. raids. I think everybody just skipped the 11 a.m. for the most part. I don't know if anybody went to that one. But then when we had the 2 p.m. one, there were maybe 25 people there. It was pretty much our whole local group. But also, I live in one of the least religious cities in the country. That might play a factor.
I went to the same place I went last time, Centennial Lakes. There were no 11s at all in Centennial Lakes.
Well, I'm going to say this. Out in the suburbs, Easter services are generally starting at 10:30, or they do two. If they have particularly big congregations, they'll do one at 9 a.m. and then one at 11 a.m. The whole morning is going to be empty. People have to do brunch. People have to go over to places. Generally, in this area, meaning Minnesota, Easter morning is a thing and nothing happens in the afternoon.
Yeah, so I don't know if that was intentional. I did see rumblings online that the same thing you said, Hannah, that there was not a lot of 11s. There were two 11s for Drago when I went originally, and there were no 11s. There was a two. So I was like, well, I'm just going to show up to the two because I see at least two other people are showing up, and I don't know. It's a pretty popular park. Yeah, it's also like a pretty popular park. So I expected people to be there regardless. And there were. That park was jam packed, which like part of me, like, look, I think having this event on a holiday is really silly, especially since the day before was not a holiday. But if Niantic, I don't know, maybe we're giving them too much credit. If they thought to themselves, well, a lot of people are going to be in parks, and therefore, maybe that would convince, like, hey, grandma, remember when you played Pokemon Go 2 days ago or 2 years ago? There's an event here that's happening that we can jump into.
Can we are a lot of people in parks?
What else are you doing? Here's my first rant of the day. People are all like, why would they have it on the holiday for family? What are you doing on Easter? You're doing nothing. You're going to church and then you're taking a nap. You're not doing anything. It's the same people that are like, I need to be with my family on Thanksgiving. No, you know what my Thanksgiving has been for 29 years? Going there, some family in-law member taking control of the TV and putting on football. And it's half the audience is sitting there watching boring football. Sorry to people who like football. I know you like it. I don't. But like every single Thanksgiving is football. Which is half the audience, and then the other half of audience or family is in the kitchen, like gossiping about something I don't care about. I ain't doing anything on a holiday.
Correct. Holiday. That is how holidays
like
are.
If I want to do a holiday family thing, I don't want to do football. I would like to go out with my people I care about, my family and friends, and do Pokemon Go. That sounds way better than sitting on a couch and watching football all day. Look, I didn't live under a rock. It's been 34 years of Easter. I have never done anything that wasn't like, we went to church like five times out of like in my childhood, and then we came home and then we did nothing.
Never did an Easter egg hunt? Those are the best.
Yeah, we did Easter egg hunts.
Those happen in a park.
not in this city. They don't. It's too rainy here.
I've done two Easter egg hunts.
This year, today, it's in the, it almost hit 70 today, which is super rare. A lot of the times, because it can happen in March or April, it is, hey, kids, do you want to go dig around in the snow? No, we're all sick of this. Yeah, let's do it somewhere else. How about we just sit inside? Because it is literally hidden around your house. My cousins tried to do a snow hunt. There were 20 eggs unaccounted for.
Oh, no.
Until 3 months later when you could smell them. Because you couldn't find them. Because why? They buried them the night before. What happened? It snowed.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds great. I didn't get to do Easter egg hunts as a kid, but there were parks in Milwaukee that had them, and I was always too old. But yeah, they were at parks.
Aww.
You had to be like a certain age. It was like free if you were like, I don't know, between like 3 years old and 9 years old or something. But by the time my parents discovered it, I was already like 11 or 12.
I think Como does an Easter egg hunt.
No, but Centennial Lakes was packed. There were people doing picnics. There were people like sitting in the benches. There were a lot of couples holding hands there. And I didn't talk to a single person, and 20 some people showed up for the raid. There was only like four people in campfire saying they were doing it. I think there is a small chance of like, well, when are people going to be at parks? Oh, probably on a holiday, because like, what else are you going to do besides sit at home? Or like, let's go to a park and have a grill out or something. I still don't think that's good. Like, why just have it the day before? What's the, like, why was it just not on Saturday? This is just my rant of I've always had very bad holidays, and there's nothing to do on holidays besides watch like sports. Or
the other thing about Minnesota is this is the first warm weekend, and literally everybody swarms outside.
Oh, yeah. Niantic planned this. Niantic is in charge of the weather.
We can finally be outside
that affects
and not die.
In a big way. I think that on holidays, it's tricky to get people together because everybody's plans are at different times. So it's helpful to have a Pokemon Go thing to do that is more solo or even in small. I mean, I guess you only needed three people for this raid, so it could have been very small groups there, but is more solo for a holiday.
Opposite though? Like, okay, again, I don't think Niantic planned this because I think that's giving them too much.
I know that they're trying to get people together.
Yeah. I think that's harder
to do on a holiday.
I think like maybe if we put it on a holiday, we get more people to do it because they're together. But like, isn't that like theoretically the goal? Like if like, let's say like I'm with my family. Gosh forbid I'm not. But let's say I'm back in Milwaukee and it's my mom who does play Pogo, my dad who doesn't even know how to work a phone, and then my siblings who have all played Pokemon Go at some point in their, like, they've all installed it. I know that for sure. Like, everyone under the sun has, installed it back in 2016, and they were chasing Dratinis back before raids were even a thing. But if we were all sitting there, and I don't know, what sport is on right now? It's not football. Like, baseball, college football, NASCAR, I don't know, whatever.
Look who you're talking to.
You're asking the wrong people.
Look in the camera and look at the people you are speaking with. No clue. Like, I am on a list looking at how many non-religious Easter egg hunts there were in Minnesota. And you know what I'm finding? Most of them were yesterday.
Yeah. If their goal was like, well, all families are going to be together and it's going to be like, hey, there's a Regieleki at the park down the street. Let's go take a walk and do it. I think there is a tiny bit of validity to that. And I would be that person that
people are going to be lower levels, so you would need more people than a family has most of the time to finish a raid. Then.
Again, I'm not defending. There was a weekend before this. There's a weekend after this. Yeah. Very confusing they did it here. But when I did, I was okay with Regieleki because I personally have bad holiday memories. So this is one of the best Easters I had. I got to catch one of my favorite Pokemon. Regieleki's a good boy. Yeah, the other problem here, non-holiday aside, was it broke for New Zealand again.
How? Yep. I don't understand.
I think I have thought about this more because I actually this makes sense now. Bear with me. This is a tinfoil hat theory though.
Oh boy,
let me put it on. With the amount that the raid passes have gone up, right? So it's double the amount to remote in, which I they did it, by the way. there was like a Hear Us Niantic thing. Niantic.
There was a Hear Us Niantic 2.
Yeah. I'm not, I'm not sure what happened there.
I'm only going to get in when we get up to sequel number 5, because that's when it started getting really weird, and that's when I'm into it.
I might have missed the jump of why there was Hear Us Niantic 2. They went ahead and they limited the remote raid passes, and then they increase the price, right? So that happened, I think, on April 6th. They said they were going to. They did it. Most of their Twitter has been the standard. We've already scheduled these posts out. There hasn't been really anything else. But because of that, I have seen that people were like, well, I am just going to resort to spoofing, which is, you know, that's been an ongoing issue for forever. And I would never do it. I would also never have two Pokemon Go accounts because that would be two opportunities to give Niantic money. And I ain't falling for that trick. Because I know what would happen. I would be like, oh, but if I spend $1 on my other account,
then the other one has to have it.
Like if I'm spending 20 here, maybe I'll spend 20. No, I'm not falling for that trick. But I think why New Zealand keeps getting screwed over is because I would assume that all the spoofers are going there first because that is the first event of the entire thing. So, you know, when Rayquaza comes back, you can either wait theoretically the next day, what is it, like 14 hours later until it appears in your time zone, or you can just spoof to New Zealand and all meet your other spoofer friends there and then just do it. And
it did sound like a big part of this problem this time around was the spoofers.
If New Zealand keeps breaking and people are like, Niantic, how does this keep happening? Is it not also all the spoofers are going there every time there's a new Pokemon, every time there's a new event, every time there's a new shiny? Like, there is nowhere else for them to go because they are the first time zone. And the takeaway here is spoofers are going to spoof, right? Like,
yeah.
they don't care where in the world it is. They just want it. And mm-hmm. what 11 a.m. Reggie Ellicke time is what, like 6 p.m. our like America time. So it's like a pretty reasonable. It's not like they're waking up at 2 a.m. to do it. That's what I think, at least. That now that's not to again that's this and in no way I am defending Niantic, but I don't know how Niantic fixes that problem without.
But
well, they amplified it.
Do we think there are that many spoofers that
yes, a million
crash
percent.
Their game?
Yes, I do. Because think of the size of New Zealand; it's not very big. So if Niantic has anti-cheats to be like, there is no way that 40,000 people should be at this single park trying to activate this gym, they can then narrow down that, well, these are obviously people spoofing, right? Like they must have caps on gyms to know how many people are doing it to then narrow down and point out, like, well, I guess probably mostly for ads, right? Like, we know that 10,000 people are spinning this gym every day versus that gym in the middle of nowhere where only like 5,000 people are spinning. Like, they have to know the capacity of every gym. So because New Zealand isn't a very big city, and because it is the only country that's in that, or sorry, it's not a very big country, and because that country is in its own time zone, because Japan is, I think all of Japan is an hour later, right?
I think so.
So it's New Zealand, then it's Japan slash some of Australia, and then it's like the rest of Australia. They're all
and
going
a bunch
to,
of other places.
They're all going to go right to New Zealand. Like, we don't hear this issue with Japan, right? Like, we don't hear, oh, Japan's community or whatever went broken. We always hear about New Zealand because it's the first one to go.
There also might be a language barrier there, but that's true. We don't usually hear about, we would hear about it if Japan's were more broken. We're just as broken
as
New
Zealand.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Japan is what, like, I the mean, second biggest moneymaker behind America?
Yeah. New Zealand's are always really broken. Just always. And it did sound like, at least what I heard was this time around, it was that the raids capped out because there were so many people spoofing in, and then people who were actually there weren't able to get into the Reggie Ellicke raids.
Oh, yeah. Which sucks for those people. Like, again, this is no way in defending Niantic. This is like, how do they fix this? I think the future scenario is that we don't get any new features to this game because the remote raid passes have one gone up, and because there's a limit of 5, those people that are addicted to this game will just resort to spoofing, and Niantic will now have to put their energy into fixing that instead of fixing the game. It's like, it's a lose-lose for everyone, honestly, like we can come on the show and be like, oh, my game crashed like 3 times, or like, oh, like I tried a remote raid, it kicked me out, and then I lost my raid pass. I want Niantic to fix those issues to make the game better, but I'm now worried that the future of this game is the people who are desperately addicted to this game and want to do as many raids as possible, they are going to resort to spoofing, and we're going to see more and more of these issues of places getting overwhelmed, especially if it's an event. What happens when there's, you know, another Korean Go Fest, or not Go Safari Zone, and people are like, well, I can't remote raid in, I'm just going to buy a ticket and then spoof my way over there and then exist. And mm-hmm. then that's going to ruin that event for those people because too many people, like, this happened, like, Vegas had this issue where actual people showed up and there were too many people in the park.
There are too many people playing the game. But no, I think they have been cracking down on spoofing more and more over time, to the point where some people's accounts are getting locked when they wouldn't expect them to. But this isn't a problem that I'm not sure they can fully solve.
Yeah. I mean, if the spoofing didn't ruin people's experiences, like, they probably wouldn't care as much. I don't know. Maybe who's to say they...
I mean, if they cared about the values of the game enough to get rid of to put a cap on raid passes. Spoofing is also against that.
Yeah. And I remember when, gosh, like 4 years ago on this program, Greg, Will, and I talked about how, like, it sucks that people are spoofing because Niantic has to like work to fix that instead of like working on like good features for the game, which like I don't know why Niantic doesn't specifically go after. Maybe there's a legal reason why, like the website, maybe it's like the emulator conversation where it's like not illegal to have an emulator or to like sell an emulator, but it's illegal to then download the ROMs to then run on the emulator.
Like the emulator isn't the problem,
right?
Right. Like a thing that can run a thing isn't the issue, because that's generally not under, you can't sort of, unless it's patented technology, like the software to make a thing run generally isn't proprietary, particularly for emulators that are like, we're just going to get around this so that things can run. We'll program it a different way. Like that's hard to do. The copyright material that the program is, that is owned by somebody and they can crack down on that. It gets complicated because there are also laws that are like, you are allowed to have a backup of your things. And so a lot of emulations get around that by saying, this is my backup to store things, which I'm allowed legally to do because once I own it, it is mine. And then I need to be able to back it up. It gets complicated really, really, really fast. And it's hard to sort of trample down legally, like, what is the best access to stop X from happening that doesn't accidentally make all of these other things suddenly a problem. And there aren't great, there still aren't great answers. Like, we have been fighting piracy forever. Like, there's not great ways to do it, because like the people who stop pirates, well, the pirates are just as good at programming. They are going to come up with another way around it. Like, it is a never ending cycle.
Yeah, I just think of like when I'm on TikTok and then I get like the spoofers on TikTok that are walking in some way area that has like a million gyms and stuff, and they're like, give me roses and I'll invite you to the gym, which is ultimately like, pay me and I will invite you to these gyms. But then then people will ask like, oh, how did, like, what are you, and they always say a website. There's like, and I think to myself, like, why doesn't Niantic go after the websites? Because if the website is shut down, then people can't get the software to do the thing. I don't know. I don't know the legal issue. Maybe they do take down the website, and then maybe they just put up another website that's like...
Yeah. For as fast as things fall, as we've learned, they can quickly come back. Like, you have to get on board. You also have to... Niantic has to be able to affect the country where the website is.
Oh, so the website could be in, like, Romania or something.
In Russia. It could be in the Netherlands, like it could be anywhere. And so it, when you're trying to shut, like, it's like emulators and piracy, like hey, spoiler alert, my game was stolen and put up on a website for free. It was in Sweden and I could do nothing about it because I can't bring a court case or copyright law to Sweden without a ton of money, a ton of international lawyers. I just had to sit there and go, well, they stole my game. Cool. I can literally do nothing about it.
I thought Swedish people were very nice.
They are people.
People
like
are people.
Everybody else.
Yep.
Oh, I wrote down on our notes a rant. Here's my actual.
Well, I thought we just did
well,
that.
Well, look, I have childhood trauma when it comes to holidays. I needed to get that out. Here's the thing that I've noticed since the raid pass change, and this is maybe a hot take. There are players to this game, Pokemon Go, that are equal to somebody addicted to gambling. And before, like, I am not, like, I know there are accessibility issues. I know that remote raid passes are really great for people in the middle of nowhere. I know they're really great for people who have trouble walking. I'm not talking about these players at all. I think with the changes to remote raid passes, it is very clear that there is a certain set of players. Again, I'm not talking about the people in the middle of nowhere, the disabled people, that are so addicted to this game that they have done things that gamblers have do, and they are lashing out and they are angry and they are grasping onto any reason they can to like bring back the or to revert the changes because they are addicted to this game. A ton of people that are addicted to this game that do not care about disabled people, do not care about people in the middle of nowhere. They only care about being able to spend as much money as possible to feed their gambling addiction because they are truly addicted to this game. And I'm talking about the people who are spending $20 a day in raid passes or $100 a week in raid passes. The people that will not stop giving Niantic a dollar and a dollar and a dollar until they get a 100 IV, until they get a shiny, until they get a 100 IV shiny. Like these people exist, and it is very clear now that because their addiction is pretty much cut off, because the casino was like, hey, we're closing, they are angry. I'm not defending Niantic. I am not saying that the Hear Us Niantic movement should be stopped. I'm just saying that these people have a serious problem. Like, they are addicted and it sucks. Like, it doesn't even matter that it's Pokemon Go. It is any mobile game. It could be any gacha game. It could be Genshin Impact. It could be Pokemon Masters, where if you are putting that much money in constantly, you have an addiction problem. It's not good. Nobody should be giving Pokemon Go like $100 a week. And somebody be like, Steve, it's their money. They can do with what they want. Yeah. Tell that to somebody who's gambling and loses everything at a casino. Like, maybe they are very well off. Maybe they're very successful where like $100 a week is literally nothing to them. I think about if you like told somebody what you were doing, like somebody who didn't play Pokemon Go, like if I like the Deoxys situation. I spent $52. I did 52 raids for shiny Deoxys. Very sunk cost fallacy in that. And if I told somebody who never played Pokemon Go, I spent $52 for a slightly different colored Pokemon, they would ask me to maybe seek like medical help. Like that is like a lot of money for something in the grand scheme of things that doesn't matter. And I know that Pokemon Go brings passion, but like again, I'm not talking about I am talking about people who are severely addicted to this game, and it is. And
I just want to say we need to be very careful when we are talking about addiction.
Yeah, because gambling is terrible.
There is a very specific set of requirements to be labeled as addictive behavior.
I am definitely not an expert on what is and is not addiction.
Can be one of them, but it is not the only sign that makes up an addiction problem. I'm not comfortable with saying people are addicted to X because I don't know their situation. I don't know what's happening to them. I will say that people who very, very, very much enjoy things and put a lot of money in it may be very upset. I'm not comfortable calling them addicted. I do think that anybody who puts a ton of money things in it and the game is not giving them what they want back should reevaluate their relationship with said
yes,
game
100%.
Or said thing. I'm not comfortable going as far as saying they're addicted to X because there's just a lot there. But
there are definitions there. I'm not sure we know what they are.
Mobile games are they didn't fall into this pattern. They are curated. And they are specifically designed and to pinch and get you to spend money. The whole reason that there is a free box in the shop for Pokemon Go is so you look at the store items every single day. Like, there is a lot of dark patterns. If you don't know what a dark pattern is, look it up. But there are a bunch of dark patterns in almost every single mobile game. And again, this is not a specific issue to Pokemon Go. There are plenty of games where people sink a lot of money into but I have noticed since the raid pass changed there are Pokemon Go players lashing out to other Pokemon Go players in very unhealthy ways, and I wish it was as easy as saying if this game does not bring you joy it is okay to take a step back. You know what, it's not okay for these players to find an entire list of every single employee that worked at Niantic and then circle it around the internet. It is not okay for these players to send people death threats or to find Niantic's home addresses. these are signs of probably people that are very addicted to this game and their stuff is taken away.
There are people who are very passionate to a toxic degree. Again, I am not comfortable saying addiction. I will say that just like any fandom where part of the fandom becomes a major part of your identity, it is very easy to fall into toxic behavior. And we see that across multiple fandoms. Believe me, if you want to see a lot of this happening, Star Wars Celebration happened this weekend. There are a lot of people who are just as angry, who are doing the exact same thing, who aren't giving money to Star Wars. Like, you can't pay more money to get more Star Wars TVs or movies. They're going to come out when they come out. Whose behavior is exactly the same, who are doing the exact same things as Pokemon Go players. When you make something that is so tied to your personality, when it becomes who you are, when there's a threat on that, you take it as a threat on yourself and you behave accordingly. That is a problem that is existing in many, 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 many fandoms. So again, I don't want to say that you are addicted to X, because that is a very complicated thing. I will say that when it becomes your core identity, that you go to such lengths, such as hunting people down and sending them death threats, you need to re-examine yourself and why you identify with X over the exclusion of everything else. It is bad. Like, I saw what was happening. People are angry. People, again, this is their thing. And when their thing is under attack, they lash out. That is a horrible aspect of today's modern world, of a million brands saying, identify with us. You're a Mac or a PC. You're an Android or an iPhone. Like, that was a marketing scheme that has backfired in tremendous ways. And we see it played out time and time. When these things happen, this stuff happens. And it's bad. Like, it is unequivocally horrible. You do not, these people, like, they cannot control the things you control. They do not deserve this abuse. Nobody deserves this abuse. You need to understand how to control your own emotions. You need to understand that this isn't an attack on you. And there are constructive ways to give feedback and destructive ways to give feedback. And a lot of people get a lot of boost from social media when they're destructive. So, like, that is a known thing. Social media really boosts negativity. You get a lot of eyes, a lot of attention. You get a lot of people coming out because the algorithms know to feed you that. So it's a terrible cycle. It is not limited to any one fandom. But yeah, like, don't. Like, I have received a lot of anger and hate for crap I've said. I get it. Like, whatever. I'm fine, random person. It's never fun to get it. And you know, people tend to forget, especially when you are just a series of text somewhere, that you aren't an actual human being. Like, anonymity and the separation of, you don't have tone of voice, you don't have body language, you just have words. Like, all these feed into this psychological problem that exists of, you can easily dehumanize people because you don't see them, and it's easy to not recognize them as human. But yeah, like, just rethink. Again, if you get this angry about something, you might want to spend some time re-examining your relationship with said property. You know, if you're angry that, spoiler alert, Lizzo was in Star Wars, again, you maybe want to re-examine your...
You know, I don't think those people are listening to our show, but I
re-examine. Just re-examine. Just take some time to say, is this for me anymore? Can I just live happy with my memories and move on to something else?
And sure. The death threats on the community managers are not okay.
Are not great.
Yeah, quit your toxic games like me and Greg quit Clash Royale.
Yeah, that needed to end. That game was just not Look, I don't play Go much anymore. Again, I had to reevaluate my relationship with a game that was making me unhappy. And I did. Do I do things on this show? Yeah, because it's part of this show. But really, most of the day, I don't talk about it.
All right. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some creatures restructuring, although we don't know too much about it. But I'll give you some fun facts about creatures, so that'll be worth it. We will be right back. This podcast is brought to you by Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, your utility bills to your favorite streaming services or podcasts, inflation is everywhere. Let's make it stop. Thankfully, there's one company out there giving you a much needed break, and that company is Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile is the first company to sell you premium wireless service online only. Lets you order from home, you save a ton of money. Your phone plans are just starting at $15 a month. And all of these plans come with unlimited talk and text plus high-speed data delivery on the nation's largest 5G network. I can attest, they sent me a SIM card. I played Pokemon Go. I played Pikmin Bloom. I played a lot of stuff. It all worked. I was able to text people and call people. Even though I don't call that much, I was still able to get all my games in on the 5G, and it worked out great. And you can use any phone plan with Mint Mobile. I popped my SIM card in an old iPhone. Worked perfectly. To get your wireless plan for just $15 a month, and to get the plan shipped to your door for free, you can go to mintmobile.com/PKMNCAST. The promo code we always use, that is mintmobile.com/PKMNCAST. And you can cut your wireless bill to $15 a month over at mintmobile.com/PKMNCAST, of course. Hey, thanks for listening to It's Super Effective. You're probably halfway through the episode. I just want to throw out that we have a Patreon, patreon.com/PKMNCAST. And Patreon is a great way to support the show. Not only can you support the show for as little as $5 a month, but with that $5, you get ad-free episodes. You won't be hearing this ad because it'll be gone in your ad-free episodes. You'll get access to our Slack community with over 800 trainers trading and battling and talking and making fun of the way I say bagel in the Slack. You can be part of that. You also get bonus episodes. Now, I released 3 bonus episodes the past 30 days, all for free, but I wanted to give you guys a taste of what those bonus episodes sound like or entail or what they can lead to. So you get at least one bonus episode every single month. And if you want to support at a higher tier, we have stickers, postcards, shout outs, name and credits, all of that stuff. Want to see it for yourself? You can head over to patreon.com/PKMNCAST to support the show. And maybe you're just interested in the ad-free or bonus episodes of the podcast, and you don't want to go to another website, and you're on your iPhone right now, you're pulled over on the side of the road, and you're using Apple Podcasts, you can actually support us and get all of that right in Apple Podcasts. There should be a little subscribe button. And what's cool about Apple Podcasts is they also offer a 2-week free trial. So if you're interested and you listen on Apple Podcasts, you can actually dive back and listen to all the bonus episodes in your 2-week free trial. You can sign up for a month or even for a year. Both Patreon and Apple Podcasts have huge discounts. If you do decide to sign up for an entire year, you get to save some money, you get to support me, and you get some stuff in return. That's always good. People like stuff. Patreon.com/PKMNCAST or in your Apple Podcast app. And we are back from our break. We got some breaking news. Beep, 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 beep. Breaking news. Is that what they still do that? Is that still?
Yeah, I mean, this just in. What it depends on your what who you watch and how they decide to break in.
This just in, dramatic news. So normally we record on Sunday mornings, but because Hannah wanted Reggie Ellicke so badly.
Yeah, you two and your addiction to Pokemon Go.
Our Reggie Elekid. I'm addicted to Reggie Elekid. I love him so much. He's great. He's a good boy. I wanted him on all my VGC teams. This is after Serebii. Well, also probably in the Pokemon Home app. I don't know if you guys know that, but that's where Serebii's getting the news from, is the Pokemon Home app updates first. No one uses that app.
No.
The next 7-star Terra raid battle has been revealed. It is a ghost Terra type Typhlosion. It will run from August 14th through the 16th and then April 21st to the 23rd. So if I pull up my calendar that I am better in charge of than Janine over at the Pokemon Company,
yeah.
They have done all of the Hisuian starters in a row with no weeks in between. So
yeah,
Decidueye, Samurott, Typhlosion, which I personally find that to be a lot, like very quick. Yep. But I've also gotten that from other people where they're like, I love these raids, but like this is every weekend is too much.
Yeah.
It's kind of fast.
Yeah. I mean, it's even if you were to say like, well, you don't have to do the other weekend. Like there's a weekend, like
yeah.
You do the 1 week and then you take a week break. Even mm-hmm. that tempo feels like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like it feels like, okay, wait, because you actually have to make things for 7-star raids. Like you actually have to prepare. So it tends to feel like, oh, I have to do a bunch of work for this, and I have to do a bunch of work for this quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And that tends to wear you out when it's one after the other. You're like, okay, give me a break for like a hot second.
Yeah, no, I feel that way too. As somebody who like sits there and was like, okay, let's go through all the options. Let's try to build optimal things so we have something. I feel like most people want something before they go into the weekend. It's almost like the Pokemon Go thing, because like when the event starts, people want to do it right away, right? Like the Thursdays that these come out are some of my most popular stream days. And they're really fun because like so many people are so excited to get the Pokemon. But I feel like if you don't have a Pokemon ready by the time it shows up, it feels like you're almost already behind.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, okay, what's working good? Okay, let me see if I can build this. Oh, everyone's kind of already done, because like there are a bunch of people that are one and done. And they get it and they move on. Maybe they're just doing this because they're supposed to be an update at the end of April. Who knows if that's Pokemon Home? Maybe that's like a little Hisuian thing they're going to do. But like there is no coincidence that they went from once a month to now every single week, 6 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Or Typhlosion now to finish this off. So they did say Pokemon Home would come in spring. April, May, June, whatever. Spring is almost done or here now. So maybe they wanted to get all the Hisuian stuff out of the way before they open up Pokemon Home. You know, competitive people are really excited for Ursaluna. So that would be a thing. Like every Pokemon that could be Hisuian is in the game. Ursa Ring. Quillfish, Zorua, what are the other Hisuian Pokemon that I...
Sneasel.
Oh my gosh, Sneasler's coming. I'm very into that. like all those Pokemon are in Scarlet and Violet. So I'm more curious, because obviously we know they're coming, if they're going to do some sort of fanfare, some maybe even if it's a small update, being like, these are how or why the Hisuian Pokemon are here. Also, we fixed the frame rate. Because I do think it would be very uneventful for them to be like, well, now you can have Ursaluna. There it is. Like,
I mean, I will say, going back to the one and done thing, this is why everybody does Final Fantasy raids on Tuesday and nobody does them on the weekend, because it resets on Tuesday and you get everything done because it reset. And so everybody does it on Tuesday. And then the people who play on the weekends have a terrible experience, because it's everybody who couldn't do it on Tuesday and they don't know what they're doing. This is like the first that Thursday gets swapped, and then the rest of the weekend can be a nightmare because everybody who was ready and done did it the first day and then left.
Yeah, no, that was like the same in Destiny as well, where if you weren't doing the raid or the nightfall on Tuesday or Wednesday, like, good luck doing it this weekend, because you're going to get like you're going to get the scraps left over.
People have asked, when do you play Final Fantasy? Tuesday. I play it every Tuesday.
Even though I have all the resources, I have all the vitamins, I got all the Pokemon, I got all the money, I'm swimming in money, because I grind out these raids every, like I did the 999 bug. I will never need 999 bug Terra shards. Bug Terra is one of the worst Terras ever. Even though I have all the resources, I can't imagine somebody who maybe only plays like once a week to try to prep every 2 weeks for these raids. It's a lot. And what they were doing before, which was, you know, 1 7-star a month, ultimately, felt really well paced, because the other weeks would be like Blissey or Ditto or something like a little bit smaller. And it was like, oh, OK, like I skipped Ditto. I didn't. Look, I'm done with breeding. I don't care. I'm not. I don't like Trick Room. Don't have to worry about that. I'm just gonna bottle cap. Like, I don't need to breed 5 IVs. I'm just going to catch or find something and then just bottle cap it. But to all the people who want to breed,
so many Dittos.
That's cool. But like, I skipped that event just because I didn't need it.
There is nothing more frustrating than people showing up with their superpowered Ditto as the leader, and you're like, please change. Please go to a Magikarp or something.
Yeah, you just have to not join those raids.
But maybe you want to practice against Koridon. Maybe you want to get a little Koridon trading in.
I did a bunch of those raids. They were fun. But it is
it is
kind of annoying when they do the smaller special raids on the same weekends as the big special raids.
I think it would feel better if there was a week in between. When they did Decidueye, when they did Samurott's second week was over the Global Challenge, which was a tournament, which was already time consuming enough. But Decidueye had the like Chansey or the Blissey. It was Blissey or Chansey. And that was nice to do, like, okay, I already did a bunch of Decidueye last week. I'll do some Decidueye this week, but in between we'll squeeze in some Chanseys. But because it's like 6 weeks in a row, and then like Ditto overlapped with the Global Challenge and Samurott, it was like, there's way
too much
happening
going
in
on.
This video game now.
Yeah.
Which is like a weird thing to say about a Pokemon game, because people are like, ah, there's nothing to do after credits. There's too much to do right now.
If you're trying to do everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Do I do the Global International Challenge, or do I wake up and I go get a Regieleki? There's a lot. Well, you know, usually our podcast is recorded before this end. I'll on Monday night on Twitch, we'll do a raid build video. We'll go through all the moves Typhlosion can learn and not learn, what we think the gimmick is going to be. On Tuesday, we'll build those Pokemon or finalize. On Wednesday, YouTube video should go up. And then on Thursday night, if you need help, on the 13th, Thursday the 13th, I believe it should start at 7 p.m. Central Time. Twitch be able to help you out. I'm going to make a guess right now that Hisuian Zoroark is going to be really good for this, because the ghost move it learns is Shadow Ball. There's another ghost move it learns, but that's the only the Hisuian form, so that it can't have that one. So Shadow Ball can't hit Zoroark because it's normal ghost, which I think is kind of funny, because it's almost like pay to win. Like, did you buy the DLC to get the good Pokemon? Oof. I mean, you could breed it. Like if somebody needs a Zoroark.
Yeah, you can get them.
They're in the wild now.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, if you need an Hisuian Zoroark egg, I'm sure the Discord or the Slack, I'm sure either of those can get you. I'm going to say that that's probably going to be an okay choice. Obviously, it will still have fire type stab, same type attack bonus. So, we'll just have to see how strong that is against Zoroark. I'll have to run the calculations to see if it survives it. I'm sure it'll be fine. But it can't get hit by Shadow Ball, so that's cool. Maybe I'm also thinking maybe Stunky would be okay, because Dark also gets access to Acid Spray. Speaking of Acid, Monster Energy. What a good transition. Monster Energy has filed a trademark complaint against Pokemon and Monster Hunter over the word of monster. I just want to say that we're a G Fuel family here. 20% off G Fuel with code PKMNCASD. This is off comicbook.com. Monster Energy has filed a trademark complaint against both Pokemon and Monster Hunter franchises in Japan over the word monster, and they have been unsuccessful in the past. The Japanese website Automaton uncovered over 100 trademark complaints filed by Monster Energy Company, the parent company of Monster Energy Drinks, over the word monster. The complaints include filings against X and Y, Sun and Moon, Monster Hunter Cross, along with filing against the Monster Hunter trademark as a whole. They have been routinely denied, although Monster Beverage continues to file complaints to this day. Just recently, Monster Hunter Energy Company, filed a complaint against Dark Deception, Monsters and Mortals over the use of monster in the title. The article goes on, but I'm not a lawyer. Is there a long-term strategy to this? Like, event, like, as if they win one small one, they like get their foot in the door? Is that what they're trying to do?
If they win one small one, generally they can use it as precedent to go after other things. Here's the thing. It's going to be real hard to win that because Monster predates all of it. It's really hard to own a word like that. Like, Monster Energy can own their trademark symbol.
Yeah. The bad
and
M.
Be like, you can never use this symbol, and you have a case there. But like, Monster, the word, has been in general use for a very, very long time. So here's a fun story. The reason why I know all about this is, back when I was
younger than I am now,
I was a part of a bunch of gay gamer boards on the internet, and the common term for all of us was gamer, G-A-Y-M-E-R.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then gaygamer.net created and got popular, and then wanted to make t-shirts and trademark that term so that only they could use it, and we actually had to... A bunch of us had to file reports saying we have been using this term. It has been a general internet term longer than this website existed. It became a whole thing. It, like, got levels of embroilment, like people coming out of the woodwork and they're like, well, they're not trying to trademark the entire word. They're like, read the brief. Yes, they are. So, like, I had to become versed in this to protect a term from being trademarked so that nobody else in the gay community would be allowed to use it unless they were part of that forum. So, like, I have dealt with this before in a different way where they like want to block it off so that you can only associate that word with their product. And one of the easiest ways around it was to say, we can show usage long before they started using it. They were not the first. And so that's the same thing with Monster. Monster's been a part of the vernacular since language.
Early 14th century is what it says in the Etymology Online website. Early 14th century. It's been around for a while.
It's been around. It's hard to say that you own that word when you're a company that was created, I don't know, let's say the 2000s.
They should be spending that money on like a rebrand.
Well, it's not necessarily that they're spending money, right? Like, this is often an automated system that a lawyer set up a while ago that just goes, sends a brief off and says, we're filing these complaints. And somebody just has to do a search and be like, here's a bunch of monster things, send them in.
I also think, like, energy companies, I mean, as somebody who works with one directly, I feel like energy companies and video games are so ingrained. I know it's like a stereotype, but like, I don't know, like, why would you ever want to, like, burn that bridge? Like, I don't see Monster Energy ever partnering with Pokemon. Like, I definitely see Monster Energy partnering with Monster Hunter. Like, that actually seems like something that would work. So to, like,
yeah,
I don't know,
hunt monster in the wild. You could have specialized cans. Look, right, I got a whole branding thing
that
I could do.
This is the Rathian can. This is the Diablos can.
I need a job. Monster Energy, hire me.
I don't know. Again, maybe if they win a small one, they can like use it against bigger companies. But instead of like filing lawsuits, you should be like, hey, I would like to partner with your video game.
It's weird that they're doing it in Japan. Like, I don't know Japan's trademark laws very well. So I'm just curious. They definitely why have
monsters
in
their Family Marts and 7-Elevens. Like they're
yeah. I don't. Why are you only doing it in Japan? I mean, I guess that's where the parent companies are.
Oh, probably.
But like, it does say that Monster Energy is a notorious trademark troll. So like, this is just what they do. And guess what? We're talking about it. So
didn't Monster Energy win against Bang and made Bang file for bankruptcy? I think they did. Because I think Bang lied about like two of their ingredients and Monster called them out on it. And then they ended up having to file for bankruptcy.
Energy drink they did drama. Win.
Yeah. Energy drink cast.
Well, they
get
won
your taurine here.
False advertising.
Yes,
verdict.
False advertising.
So, like, a real thing. And they won, according to this, $293 million.
Yeah, see, they don't need Monster Hunter or Pokemon. They have beat out their competition.
They sued them into the ground.
Bang was pretty... Bang would show up at TwitchCon or other conventions. I know this because, again, I work with G Fuel, which would be Monster's competition and Bang's competition. But a lot of conventions at a certain point changed their rules to have no booth babes. I don't know if
yep.
people know what booth babes are. Just
yeah,
ladies not wearing a lot of clothing. And Bang would show up to these events and they would have booth babes. When everyone, like, that would the industry, like, they kind of stopped saying, like, no more booth babe, because people just stopped doing it after a while. They yeah. had a hard rule, and then it, like, kind of, like, faded out anyways over time. And it was very jarring to, like, walk around TwitchCon and, like, everyone, like, I did feel like there was a point before the pandemic where conventions got a little bit more, like, personable and, like, not over the top in your face, like, screaming at you to, like, check out their booth. You'd walk by Bang and they would just have a lot of ladies in very little clothing and they were just blasting music. And you were like, mm-hmm. did I get warped into like 1999? Mm-hmm. Like, what is going on right now? And like, there was a strict no booth babe rule, but like no one enforced it for them. Well, they're bankrupt now. So,
yeah, they lost because Bang was claiming that they had super creatine in their ingredients. And Monster's like, you don't have any creatine in it at all. So the health benefits are a complete lie. And then the jury said, yeah, it's a complete lie. So here's a
lot of
money.
They got what was coming, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Man, this is a wild podcast today. We're talking about lawsuits and...
but.
Gambling.
The only thing, here's the thing, there was a short brief period of booth babe conventions where some companies went to booth boys. I was kind of into that. But overall, because I went to E3, which I
wait, you went to E3?
Yeah, I got snuck into E3.
Oh, you that was a wild time too when people yeah. got snuck into yeah. E3.
I got stuck into E3. I also got stuck into the premiere of the Poseidon Inventor that was only for employees, but that's another story entirely as well. But you would walk in and the booth babes could always pick us out because we'd walk in and we'd be looking at things and not at them, and they would all like breathe this sigh of relief because they knew they were not going to get like hit on by oh, our okay. crew, because they'd be like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Okay, you're all fine and you're not going to be like, you actually care about the product we're supposed to be selling. We're like, could you tell me about this game? And then there was a brief window when they were like, let's do booth boys and booth babes, which lasted about a year or two. And then everybody said, this is obnoxious yeah. and garbage. Please stop. Also, it's a liability because harassment lawsuits happen at every con.
I don't have a good transition into Unova region sitting cuties available now at Pokemon Center.
So what they need to do is they have to have booth cuties.
Ah, there we go. With 174 charming new plush Pokemon to choose from, you're bound to find one or several that you can set up at your booth.
Some are more charming than others. Looking at these designs.
Now, there are 156 Pokemon in the Unova Pokedex, if I remember correctly. It is the biggest Pokedex out of all of them. They are saying 174. I believe that is because there are some different forms.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the Landerai have two of each, as well as Keldeo and Meloetta would have two of each.
Yep.
All the Sawsbuck and Deerling.
Yeah. Oh, I was like, Sawsbuck and Deerling. Yeah, that would be eight right there. Sitting Cutie Collection has entered Unova. They're available now at Pokemon Center, 174. There was also like a secret price increase for some of these Pokemon. Most of them were always like, I think, $11 or $12.99. Yeah. And now some of these Sitting Cuties are up to like $15, $16.
Yeah. So it looks like those are the more complicated ones.
And they look bigger.
Yeah.
Like the Zekrom is 6 inches for $14.99. The Bisharp is 6 1/4 inches for $14.99. But Chinchino is 5 1/2. So you're getting ripped off on the Chinchino one.
So don't get the Chinchino.
You're getting less.
Do we have any that are sold out yet?
No, not that I'm seeing.
They might have. They might have actually properly. That was a nightmare with both Gen 3 and Gen 4. Like, would put them up and they would instantly sell out.
Most of these look good.
Yes, I would agree that most look good. I feel like the Gothitelle is not looking great.
Mm-mm.
I would say if they look bad, it's because they're just a bad Pokemon anyways.
Most of them do look really good, though. There are some of these that I wouldn't expect to turn out well in plush form.
The Ferrosseed looks really bad. It looks very bad. Drudigan looks bad, but Drudigan always looks bad.
Yeah.
Drudigan has its own style.
Virizion isn't great. Virizion's got a kind of a wide glassy eye vision thing. Like,
yeah. It kind of got its head flattened a little bit.
It's a little rough.
Fungus, not looking good. I think both Basculins are looking great. I think P-Dove.
It's not a hard design to get right.
I think P-Dove looks excellent. And Molka kind of. Oh, Heatmor looks terrible.
Yeah, Terrakion does not look great either. Terrakion looks a little crappy about life in general.
Okay, I think when they sell out, they disappear. Because I there's no way I just scrub through 174 Pokemon. I think they do the thing where if they sell, like, what would it be? Oh, gosh, I don't even know what I haven't seen yet. I haven't seen Snivy.
Oh, Snivy's there.
Oh, he's there?
I just saw Snivy.
Okay, Snivy, Sitting Cutie. What's the middle?
Yeah, it looks like some of them have sold out. So Larvesta, Dwebble, Suaddle, Joltik, and Venipede, it looks like, have sold out.
Wait, did you just name all bug Pokemon?
Yep.
Bug type ascendancy.
Wait, can you go through that list again?
So on the Pokemon Center website, they push all of the sold out ones to the later pages, but they're still there. Larvesta, Dwebble, Suaddle, Joltik, and Venipede are all just right there.
Which monster out there, not the energy drink, which one of you all listening just ordered bulk of the bug Pokemon? Ban their IP.
Hey, they got excited from the bug terror raid.
They're all pretty good ones.
Larvesta would be a good one. I like Larvesta a lot.
The Venipede one looks kind of weird, but the rest of them are pretty good.
Wait, did they not order Whirlipede? Whirlipede is a good boy.
Doesn't look like
it's just a circle.
No, he's in stock. Yeah, he's in stock. He's looking good too. Yeah,
which one are you buying?
If I was to limit myself to three, I'm thinking really hard about this. I know for sure Ducklet would be on there. The Ducklet looks incredible. Like whoever made them put a lot of work into the Ducklet. I also think Archaeops would be on there because he's looking really good. But I don't know what number three would be. Like maybe Trubbish. I think Crustle looks really good, but I'm not a big Crustle fan. Yeah, that's tough. I'm not sure. Garbodor's looking really good, too.
I'm liking the look of the Sawsbuck ones. I'm kind of wishing I could get those.
Yeah, I want the Winter Sawsbuck real bad.
I feel like if you do Sawsbuck, you got to do all of them.
You have to get all four of them.
Yeah.
you pick your season. You get one season. Pick it.
Why is Palpitoad so chonky?
Because Palpitoad's a chonky boy.
He's so chonky.
I also think they did a really good job on the Golurk. I would get the Golurk for sure.
James Turner fan.
That's not a surprise.
Yeah, James. The
Kling Klangs can be sent off to the trash bin.
No, they're pretty bad. The Kling Klang one is so good.
Bouffalant is good, though.
Cling cladding is hard to make as a plush. I think they did well.
I think, I think as a plush, it would be hard. I think they did well. You're right, Greg. The Golurk does look very good.
The Cryonical, chef's kiss.
I think the Carablast is also really good. He's a chonky boy, too.
Durant is actually pretty good, I think.
Durant's, like, very flat, though. Like,
yeah,
they stepped on him.
And also very angry.
Maractus is looking...
The Trubbish is great. I would support your Trubbish purchase.
I think the Trubbish is extra... You know, okay, I said something very controversial and a hot take earlier before the break. I'm going to give an even hotter take right now. And I hate this take. I'm sorry in advance. Handseer, Panpour, Pansage, and their evolutions all look fantastic.
Oh, they do.
And
it's
crazy how good
they
look. Like, I'm looking at the Panseer right now. It is like perfectly formed ears, perfect dimensions, hair.
I don't know if their evolutions look great. I'm not sure about that.
Their evolutions look good.
I think they're looking as good as they can. I mean, like, they had very little to work with. That the whoever sewed that thing together, they put some love into it.
I think two of them look good. The Semiseer one looks kind of off. The rest of them are all right.
I think Semiseer just looks.
I kind of want the Vanillux though.
Vanillux would be good. I didn't see that one when I was going. I keep getting Vanillite.
I'm not overly thrilled with the Solosis and Duosion ones. I mean,
they're pretty.
I don't
chonky.
Know what you were going to do, but I.
They should be discounted. Solosis should only be $5.99. There's no reason
like
he
pillows.
Should be $11.
They look like pillows.
Yeah.
Time Pole should also only be like $5.99. There's not a lot of working with here.
Dad, the Audino is pretty good.
Yeah, people like Audino.
Ooh, the Whimsicott's nice.
I like how the main foo has like the uppies. He's like,
yeah.
He's like, uppies, please.
Seems sassier than Timber should be.
Look, if you're an audio listener right now, I'm not doing the effort of putting these on screen. You're not missing out anything on the video version.
No.
That's way too much effort for me. If you're driving in your car, feel free to pull over and go to PokemonCenter.com. You'll get more enjoyment just scrolling through them than like the effort I would put into putting these on screen. If you're a YouTube person, hello. Feel free to leave a comment of the top three Unova sitting cuties you would get. You're only limited to three. I don't want to see any fours on the list. If you want all three, four Deerlings, you can't. Your rule is three. So if you're going Deerling, some season is getting left out. But that's your goal for YouTube. And then if you're not on YouTube, maybe you're in the Slack or the Discord. You need the podcast channel to tell me which three. I should probably order. I feel like some of these are going to sell out.
They're going to sell out.
I'm for sure. I don't know. Maybe I'll go Carablast. This is a tough three. The Arceus is so good.
Has to be Trubbish, your favorite cat.
I do love Trubbish. I do. He's a good cat. Is that that's all? Oh, well, last bit of news. Creatures. Let me pull up this tweet from Mr. Sarabi Joe. So Ishihara, Hannah, how do you?
I don't have it pulled up. So Ishihara and Tanaka.
Tanaka. They have stepped down as Ishihara was the CEO and Tanaka was the president of Creatures. So they have both stepped down from Creatures Inc. Now, if you are unfamiliar, Ishihara is also the CEO of the Pokemon Company.
I think the president of the Pokemon Company.
Yes, sorry, president of the Pokemon Company. Not to be confused with the Pokemon Company International. That's a different company. Which all weekend I saw that like, oh, Ishihara is still the president of TPCI. No, that is a different company. The Pokemon Company is in charge of the Pokemon Company International, but they're not. So when Niantic needs approval for things, they don't go to TPCI. They go to the Pokemon Company. So they go to the Japan office. The Pokemon Company International, there are two headquarters. One is in Seattle, Bellevue, where one of those side cities. I think it's Bellevue. Not actually Seattle, the city next to it. And then the other one, I believe, is in London slash probably a city around there. So there's a UK office, and then there's the American office, and then the Pokemon company is Japan, which is Ishihara. He's still there. He's still there. Now, Creatures does some stuff. They also are part of what makes up the Pokemon company. So the Pokemon company itself, not to be confused with the Pokemon Company International, this is hard to follow. The Pokemon company itself is made up of Nintendo, Game Freak, and Creatures. So even though he has stepped down from Creatures, he's still in charge of the whole shebang. So I don't think we would see a lot of differences. Like, I don't think like, oh, suddenly something's going to change in the next 6 months. I think maybe his workload is like too much. And it was like, let's give it to somebody else.
So to dispel sort of the mystery as to why they're stepping down, they're both 65.
They're old too.
That. 65 is a retirement age. As a person that was forced to retire recently, 65 is retirement age. You are kind of done working at 65 and you want to be done working. It's not a great big mystery why two people who turn 65 are like, and I'm going to retire
from one of my two jobs.
Yeah, there are a lot of the people who have been with the Pokemon Company, the Pokemon Company International, all of these places for a very long time.
Yeah,
who are starting to leave, and they're things like, are starting to turn over to newer people in general. But like, it does seem like this is not exactly one of those cases.
Yeah, I mean, generally they will step down at the easier one to distract themselves from, right? Like, it is easier for me to turn over the reins and retire from one area, and there's already a structure there, and then we'll figure out the other one, right? Like, but the mystery as to, oh my gosh, why are they doing this? Because they're 65 and they want to be done working. I want to be done working, and I'm almost 53.
Now, Creatures, which has one third of the Pokemon, we don't actually know what the split is. Because you can't split 100 three ways evenly. So somebody has, if it was even, one of these three companies have 34%. But we don't know what the split is. We don't know if Nintendo's 20 or 30 or 33 or 35. We don't know if Creatures is 33, 34, 3. We don't know. Unless I missed something. But like, so Creatures has made the 3D models for Pokemon games. And back when they made the 3D models for X and Y, the whole concept behind that was they were making 3D models to future-proof for whatever it's worth. Whether they have changed 3D models in the past. If you look at the 3D model of Charizard in Sword and Shield, or in Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, and you look at him in Scarlet and Violet, he's different. They like changed his snout for whatever it's worth. Like, I don't know how much work that was. Don't know if that really matters. But 3D models do slowly change over time. But initially, they made them all in X and Y to future proof them. Another example, even though Mewtwo is not in the game yet, Mewtwo's model is different. Like, he is different than also Pokemon Go uses the same 3D models as the other games, right? Like, there's a lot of Pokemon games. Might as well make them all look the same for consistency purposes and ease of use. And so Creatures are the company that made the 3D models. They also deal a lot with the Pokemon trading card game and how that works. But they do pretty much work on like every Pokemon game to an extent, whether that is the modeling or something else not credited. So for example, they do make games. I know that is shocking. So Creatures was the developer on PokePark for Wii, Pikachu's Adventure. They also were the developer on Pokemon Ranger Guardian Signs. They developed the Pokedex 3D app for whatever that was worth, that no longer accessible because the eShop is down. Also, they didn't say anything to anyone on social media or in a newsletter or on their website to like, hey, this is the last week to get eShop stuff. That shut down for 3DS and Wii U. That's whatever. That happened. That
I think there was some news in Pokemon Home. Maybe after.
Nobody looks there.
Anna, we already talked about no one checks his app.
just for what it's worth. And it may have been news after the fact, but it's there.
They also, Creatures, was the developer on Detective Pikachu for the 3DS. And who knows where Detective Pikachu 2 is, because or whatever, the Switch version, because they said that that was coming. So maybe they're still working on that. I don't think Ishihara stepping down has anything to do with Detective Pikachu 2. Yeah, I think Greg is correct. And, you know, he's just older. So they do. It's not like Creatures just sits there and doesn't do anything. It's not like they just made a bunch of Pokemon models and were like, well, see you in Gen 10. We'll make another 100. So, there's a bunch of games I didn't list. I just listed just a couple games, but they have worked. Creatures also absorbed at one point Umbrella, which was probably the worst maker of Pokemon games ever. If you don't remember what Umbrella made, they made Hey You Pikachu, and they also made the hit game that lasted exactly 1 year, which was Rumble Rush. I don't remember what Rumble Rush Burst, Rumble Rush,
Rumble.
Boy, I just Rumble Rush, Pokemon Rumble Rush. Yes, that's just what it was called on iOS and Android. Just a side note, just a little cliff to people that were like, Pokemon carries any brand, and the only reason Niantic is successful is because of Pokemon. I just want to point out Rumble Rush. That game didn't. That game lasted exactly 1 year. Pokemon could the brand of Pokemon could not save Rumble Rush at all. Nothing could be done to save that game. Unfortunately,
there are plenty of Pokemon mobile games that have died.
Yes,
Magikarp Jump.
No, that game is still out there, living its
still
best
there.
Life.
Nobody talks about it, so therefore it's dead. I will believe Magikarp Jump is a valid game when I see death threats to the makers of Magikarp Jump.
Well, they are the ones who
are making Pokemon still, sleep.
Yeah, making them Pokemon sleep. So we'll
they
see.
Did look. They did the correct thing. We actually don't know who's working on that game.
One and done.
Maybe we need more Japanese developers, because then the angry American audience will struggle to find them. I feel bad for anyone making content. It's just rough out there. Shout out to the people who steal my graphics and put their logo on top of them.
Hey, back off. I don't have a lot of time these days.
You should have more time, Greg. That's our show for today. I'm sorry it was a bit heated. I had a lot of childhood trauma coming into this episode.
Clearly.
Look, I don't have therapy until Wednesday. I had to let it out now. I appreciate you two listening to me rant.
Hey, can I send a note along? Please talk about these things with Steve.
Please talk about Steve's trauma when it comes to sports being played on any holiday. It's a real struggle out there. Hey, I got my Regieleki key, and it's one of my favorite Pokemon. I don't care that he's 2 stars and garbage stats. I like him a lot.
I mean, as long as you're happy.
I am happy. He cost me no dollars. He cost me gas, I guess. And then I went to Shake Shack afterwards, and that was pretty good. Hey, Shake Shack's open on Easter for anyone who was struggling.
A lot of things are open on Easter.
Target was not open, Greg.
No, Target closes.
It's also Lunds and Byerly was also closed.
Yeah, a lot of grocery stores closed.
But Whole Foods.
Cub Foods closes at 4.
Whole Foods parking lot was slammed. Yeah, Jeff Bezos does not care about
Bezos
Easter. He's making his employees
work. You
know
what? Everybody's going to need post-Easter eggs.
Quick, we didn't get anything for Easter dinner. To Whole Foods.
I ate so much food, I cannot fathom eating dinner. I will at some point, but right now it's like, nah, dog.
Hey, if you made it to the end, this is the last week of our giveaway.
Ever.
We are giving away I'm sorry if you made it to the end. We are giving away a Nintendo Switch OLED, the Pokemon one. I found one. We're giving it away. It is open worldwide. I will say, if you live in like Turkey and you win, I'm just going to send you the money because I'm not getting another Switch stuck in customs. you can buy whatever Switch you want. And then, I don't know, I'll raffle off the giveaway again, I guess. But, like, if you live in America, Mexico, Canada, you win. I will send you the Switch. If you're overseas, we're going to have to talk about it, because I have no problem giving you the, I have no problem just giving you the cash so you can buy a Switch. It just, customs has been an absolute nightmare. I feel ever since the pandemic, it is so hard to get things in and out of America. I ordered something from Japan. It's been 2 months. It hasn't even shipped yet. I think they said they were putting it on a boat. I don't know. Eventually, they were Minchino slippers. Eventually, I'll get those. Who knows? But hey, the giveaway is open to everyone. Easy. Just like follow on Twitter. Follow on Twitter's not going to exist. Follow on Twitch, Instagram, YouTube, all that stuff. Thanks for making it to the end. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Hannah. We will see you guys next week. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Trying to figure out which sitting cutie to get on the Pokemon Center website. Super effective.
This podcast is brought to you by Patreon. A huge shout out to our producers of the episode, starting with Stephen, Kay, William, Tony, Stuart, Ryan, Nate, Matthew, Bovine, Catherine, Casey, Josh, Jessica, Greg, Courtney, Chris, Brian, Anthony, and our executive producers of Spencer and Brady. Thank you so much for the continued support. If you too would like to support us on Patreon, you can head over to patreon.com/pkmncast. That is patreon.com/pkmncast. And you can sign up to get a bunch of rewards, including having your name read at the end of the episode. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.